Morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's on the way, and we are excited for another day of grace. And we shared some prayer requests and praise items earlier this morning. We also testing out or doing a new wireless system, so hopefully you'll be able to hear more clearer than you have before. And I know that sometimes that's very, very important. Also, make announcement that April the 30th, I think that's the last Sunday of the month, is it? Yeah. We won't be having services here, but we'll let you know on our website where we'll be meeting on that day. If you have your songbooks, be turning to page 138. We'll be singing Christ Arose. We'll sing all three verses. Christ Arose. Low in the grave he laid, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming damning day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, by the triumph of the foes, he rose a victory from dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He rose, he rose, hallelujah, Christ, he rose. Number two. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, mighty trump overflows. He arose through the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He rose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, mighty trumpet over foes. He arose a victory, a dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He rose. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. Thank God that he sent his son. Not only did he die, not only was he buried, but he what?
Arose.
He arose. So this song is very appropriate. What we're going to teach today about the truth about Easter. If you have your Bibles, be turning to Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. And I was looking over some of our videos, and we've never videotaped this, so we hope that it'll be something that you can listen to and enjoy. I also put this on our website as a document form so people can see it also. But it's a truth about Easter, and we know that in the world since today is Easter Sunday. That you're listening to, and important day in Christianity, because everybody dies, don't they, guys? Yep. Everybody's buried. Yep. And you can find many people's bones out there, the Confucius and all those people today. Everybody that people wants to follow in this world, you can dig their bones up. But one person you can't dig their bones up, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And church tradition has dictated the dates of many Christian events and distorted the many meanings of others. One of those is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ died. And the fact is that he was not crucified on Friday, despite what people's looking at, Friday, Good Friday, that type of thing. And another view is he did not die on Wednesday. And so we're going to look what the Word of God tells us. I know I used to hold to a Wednesday view, and I never did hold to the Good Friday view, but it got you out of schools, it got you out of work sometimes, you know, that type of thing. They made profited out of it. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, according to one tradition, Jesus died on the cross at 3 p.m. on Friday, and he rose early Sunday morning. So ask yourself, how can 3 days and 3 nights be compressed in such time period? And I know you probably, it works. It's 3 days, 3 days. So if you can say Friday is a day, and if you can say Saturday is a day, and Sunday is a day, right? You can say that. You can say that. But what about 3 nights? It is not that unless you estimate it, and it isn't about Common Core, you know, that type of thing. Matthew 12:40 tells us what we need to look for, and the Friday view does not work, and many Christians simply ignore it. The obvious problem, and holds to that tradition. They're going to hold to it till the day they die. Because my preacher told me, my priest told me, my religion told me this. And they get involved with it, and tradition. You know how many traditions of religion that we had to flush when we come to understand this dispensational truth? A lot. We had a lot of baggage. And sometimes I still have a lot of baggage when it comes to religion. But the thing is, God's right. It doesn't matter what I believe, it's what God believes. And that's what we need to let people know in this world, that it doesn't matter what you and I think. You know, when we teach the Word of God, rightly divided, it's an educational process. It's going to take some time to build. But you have the Word to look at. You have the Word. God gives you His mind, if you're saved, to understand what He's talking about. Now, it's hard sometimes. And I'll be the first to admit, but some of the things I don't know, I don't mess with it, but I try to learn. But I do know about the Word of God, rightly divided, and I know what it's not. You with me? I know what God is doing today. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus was crucified and died on Friday. In Mark chapter 15, now I'm going to go kind of fast. If you want to follow, that's fine. But if you can keep up, but we got a lot of verses to go over. Mark 15:42 says, and now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. And there are other Sabbaths beside the weekly Sabbath. Are you aware of that? What is the weekly Sabbath in your Bible? It's Saturday. Okay, yeah, and it's not Sunday. God never did change the Sabbath day to Sunday. Even after He died, He didn't. And the first day of Passover week, no matter what day it will be, doesn't matter. Exodus chapter 12, verse 16, "And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you." So you can eat. Okay? Leviticus chapter 23, verse 7 says, "In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no severe work therein." So you can't work on that day. That's why you had to be somewhere on the Sabbath day's journey. You had to be there, right? Now, the Passover Sabbath, falling on the 15th of Nisan, of that the calendar, which came on Friday, the year that Christ died. And it was not accidental that Christ did or died during the Passover. He has to be what? The Passover lamb. Okay? If I'm not jumping ahead of myself, when Abraham took his son up on that rock to sacrifice him, what did his son ask? Where is the lamb? Okay, and when Abraham went up there and tied his son to that altar, his son didn't fight him. But Abraham knew that if he took his son, that his son was going to live again over here. That's his eternal life. But what showed up in the thicket?
A ram.
Not a lamb. So the lamb don't show up till many, many, many years later. John 19:14 says, "And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king." Now Christ was not tried and crucified before the weekly Sabbath, the Saturday, but the day of the Passover Sabbath. In the year falling on Friday, the only conclusion we can make is that Christ was crucified on Thursday. Now I know many of us talk about Wednesday. You know, you got Wednesday. Well, we'll get that in a little bit. We have to remember that the Jewish day starts in the evening, not in the morning, and we have to hold to that today when you look at this verse. When we look at mornings, we talk about 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, that type of thing. I always like to kid people, say, day's not over till 6 o'clock. Then it becomes evening. You know, sometimes I goof up and say, y'all have a good day, and it'll be at 6:30, 7 o'clock. I'm like, ooh. I messed up, that type of thing. Jesus ate a Passover Wednesday evening, which would have started the day of Thursday, which is the Passover. And that he died on the cross at the very moment that the Passover lambs were being killed. He would not eat the Passover lamb on the Passover day, for he was the Passover lamb. But he did eat Passover with them. So in Exodus chapter 12, they go out and they get a lamb on the 10th day. And how long are they supposed to keep that lamb? Many of you might know.
7 days.
Well, they watched it until the 14th day, and in which they killed it. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month thou shalt take to them every man a lamb, according to his house of their fathers, a lamb for the house." And verse 6 says, "And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." And Jesus was killed on the 14th of Nisan. Now, he was crucified on Passover day, and that was to be 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. That's what he said, right? Think about this for a minute. Go to Luke chapter 23. Think about this. Luke chapter 23, verse 42. Verse 43 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, today shall thou be with me in where?
Paradise.
Paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and it was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Jesus died sometimes after 3 p.m., the ninth hour. Where do you say today? These are some key words that you got to think about. Thursday and was placed in the tomb before dark or before the beginning of the new day, Friday. Remember, the day starts at what time? 6 p.m., right? What we call 6 p.m. And Thursday night, Friday night, what's the next one? Is that three nights? Three nights. That makes three. Thursday, Friday, Saturday takes care of what?
3 days.
If you added Wednesday in there, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You with me? Because even if it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you still got 3 hours a day. It's day, whether we like it or not. So that's 4 days. So Jesus said he would be in the ground for 4 days and three nights. That's what he said. Is that what your version say? 3 days and three nights. So at the beginning of the first day of the week, which is what day? You ever notice your calendar? Most of you have Jewish calendars, believe it or not. What is the first day of the week?
Sunday.
So when you tell everybody have a nice weekend, when is the weekend?
Saturday,
right. I always tell people have a nice weekend when you get to it. Because some of us work Saturdays and like, okay, weekend. Now it starts the new day, the first day of the week. And which starts at 6 p.m. Saturday night, our time. Jesus rose from the grave during that time. He wasn't in that grave. Do you agree with that or not agree with it? The statement that Jesus made was literally true, guys, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. His body laid in a sepulcher 3 days and three nights, but he himself went into where? Abraham's bosom, paradise, and declared to the perfect sacrifice that he made and led the Old Testament saints, led captivity captive, led the saints out of that place down there, and paradise was moved to the third heaven at that point. So after that point, all the saints that was in Abraham's bosom in the earth are no longer in Abraham's bosom in the earth. That has been moved to paradise. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 says, wherewith he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Not only did he go to the first heaven, you know the first heaven. What's first heaven we talk about? The blue skies. The second heaven is what? Where the stars are at. Where's the third heaven at? You know that's where God is. He rose, the Bible says, far above all heavens. So that's exciting to know he's up there right now. You know what 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of body, I cannot tell. Such a one was caught up in the third heaven. Who said that?
Paul.
Apostle Paul. And we talk about this all the time. In the body, out of body. He couldn't tell because he looked the same. So your soul is what's the real you. You break this mold away, you're still going to have hands, feet, eyes, head, toes. Caught up in the what? Third heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, that just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. If we take exactly what the Bible teaches, we see a marvelous fulfillment of prophecy and Old Testament typology. And on the other hand, if we accept church tradition, you know what we just do? If we don't think what Peter says and Paul says and all that's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to hold to church tradition, you know what you just did with Christ? Not only that, we robbed Christ of His essential glory. You're holding Him there. You're not saying He's there. You know what I mean? You're not giving Him His glory. The Bible said He did do that. And in fact, if a traditional Good Friday or Wednesday tradition not only robs Christ, and many of us wants to be right with God, you don't want to rob God like man robs God. You know, people could put you under law. How do I rob God? Well, you didn't tithe today. You didn't bring a storeroom, that type of thing. That could affect your soul. You know that? That could affect your spirit. Oh, I don't want to rob God. I better not eat today. I better give that money to church. I better not put that money in a gas tank so I can go to work. I better give it to the preacher. That type of thing. People will do anything and everything they can to control you. So don't rob God. It also neglects the clear teaching of God's Word, just placing it beneath everything about the Passover lamb that Jesus was a picture of. Now, either Jesus is going to be the perfect sacrifice and do every jot and tittle of this word, or He's not. And you know as well as I know, there's books out there they call a Bible. What does Bible mean? What is it?
A series of books.
Well, it's book. Book. And the Bible's book. And I'd like for you to give me a verse on where you can find the word Bible in there, in your Bible. Can you give me one?
Front page.
It's not in your Bible. It's a book. Okay? But they'll give you a book, and they'll change that book, and they'll change anything they want in there. One, a lamb without spot and blemish. That's what Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Did our Lord Jesus Christ have a blemish on Him?
No.
Not at all. Was He tainted, His blood tainted? No. I had a young man ask me, he said, you know, we was talking about eating swine, pork, pig. And he said, well, did Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, are there any records of Jesus eating pork? You know what I told him. He ain't eating pork. Okay, it's unclean. You're not going to stump Jesus. They try to stump Jesus all kinds of things, on divorce, whatever the case may be. They try to stump Him on all kinds of stuff. They couldn't do it. What do you say about John the Baptist, by the way? Ain't no greater man. You know, that type of thing. John came a-preaching. A lamb chosen on the 10th day of Nisan, that's Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. It was the 10th day of the month preceding Saturday that the triumph entry of Jerusalem was made, and not on Palm Sunday, as traditional says. You know, We're taping this on Easter Sunday, so that means last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and people's going, they're celebrating stuff, right? Palm Sundays, we've done that. We laid out palm trees and all that stuff, that type of thing. But that don't work. This is clear since Jesus came from Jericho to Bethany 6 days before Passover. John chapter 12, verse 1 says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. This would have been Friday that He made the trip from Jericho to Bethany. And if the church Palm Sundays were historically correct, it would mean that Jesus made a trip on the Sabbath day, 6 days before Friday. And you know that was a no-no. That was a no-no. I think one of you guys figured out how many miles or feet or how many, how far you... Not much trip if it, you know it. He would not. It's in violation of the law, guys. Exodus 16:29 says, "See that for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore, He's given you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So he made a provision where you don't have to go out and hunt for food, that type of thing. Well, I'm saying you, not you personally, the Israelites. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey." Jesus enters Jerusalem on the next day. He's not entering on Sabbath day. John chapter 12, verse 12 says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. It was also the same day that Judas went to the chief priests and offered to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver." If you're taking notes, Matthew 26, 6 through 16, and Mark 14, verses 3 through 11, talks about that. That evening, Friday night, Jesus and his disciples were in the dinner of Simeon the leper's house. These are all coming up to that day, right? That same night, now Saturday, the 10th of Nisan, or how you want to call it, I used to have a 240, 260, and 280 Datsun. And now they call them what? Nissan. But anyway, when I see that, I'm thinking, remember that the days began at the sunset. Judas sold Jesus the fulfillment of prophecy when he did that. Does prophecy not say he's going to be sold 30 pieces of silver? Zechariah 11, 12 says, "And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. If not, forbear." So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. You think that silver was worth anything then? Absolutely. Yes, it was. There is absolutely nothing that favors Friday crucifixion or any verses that support that. On the other hand, everything Scripture offers the time of the Lord's crucifixion points to Thursday. Matthew 26:61, and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple and build it in what? 3 days." Matthew 27:40, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." 27:63, saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." So there, these are things laying up 3 days, 3 days. What did they just call him?
The deceiver.
I do believe this. If he was here today, out here preaching on street corners and doing, they would say the same thing today. That's sad. Mark 8, verse 31 says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." Mark 9, 31, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after they kill him, he shall rise again the third day." Over and over and over and over, He's talking about the third day. So when was the Lord resurrected? Third day. Simple as that. Okay, have a good day. When was he resurrected? 4 days later? 3 days later? 2 nights? 2 days? You know what our gospel, when we talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, we get a gospel there. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory, which I preach unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered you first of all that which I also received." Now, who's writing 1 Corinthians here? So when did Paul receive what he's getting ready to tell us? He also received this information. How that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel of Christ, the good news that He died for us. And you, when you teach somebody and you talk to somebody, you have to bring this clear that Christ died according to the Scriptures and He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Not according to what you and I think. We can get messed up there. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And get Luke chapter 24. Got some verses to read here. So bear with me. Read along with me if you want to. Mark chapter 16, verses 1. We're going to read 1 through 9. "And when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary of the mother James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him." And you know who that Him is, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week," which was what?
Sunday.
"They came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was great, very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they was affrighted. Right? And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you unto Galilee. As He said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 devils. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day. Got that? Luke chapter 24. Verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre. They're going to be basically saying the same thing here. Bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful man, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and remembered from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the leaven, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and the mother of Mary of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. Now, women wouldn't do that, would they? That's what they're looking at. These women are saying it, and they seem to be what? Idle tales. And they believed them not. Verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering if himself, at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to the village called, was it Emmaus? Which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlong. And they walked together of all these and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and had crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have been had redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since the things were done. So Thursday's death would be right on that view, guys. Now that you do your study yourself. But the main thing about this is we believe in a glorified, risen Savior, don't we? We know that when he died, his death became our death. His burial became our burial. His resurrection became our resurrection. We identify with him, he identifies with us. And he came to do one thing on this earth when God came. He came to do what? Die for a fallen race. From the time Adam took that fruit and made that choice, he came to die and redeem mankind. And the Bible said, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. and hope maketh not ashamed, because that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he has given to us. Verse 6. For when we were what? Without strength, in due time, Christ died for what? For a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, and while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Listen, you was ungodly. He died for us. We was sinners. He died for us. We was enemies. He died for us. That was the sole purpose of Lord Jesus Christ doing, and only he could do that. So we need to trust in the Lord, what he did at Calvary, that he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day for our sins. And guess what, guys? You trust that and that alone, you're saved. You're sealed. You're sanctified. Then God wants us to get in his book. And as you study the Word of God right and divide it, you can study the whole Bible. All the Bible's for us, right? All Scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and for profit, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly perfect in the fruit of the furnace. I'm messing that up big time. And good works. But the thing is, that's what he wants us to do. And none of us is going to be perfect as long as we're in this flesh. You know, Brother Richard put a, I forget the doctor, he's a preacher, and he was talking about color. And he says, he's a black preacher, and they asked him about what color he thinks Jesus was. And the guy says, well, he was born in the Middle East, you know. Because everybody wants to say white, 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 white. You know, every picture you see out there, Jesus is white, you know, and blue eyes and long hair, red sandy hair. That's not what Jesus looked like. So the gist of what I'm saying is the questions that he answered was exactly with the type of people. He said, well, he went down to Egypt. You know, that type of thing. So he says, so when you go up that altar and you pray down with color in your mind, you're going to get up with color in your mind. It makes perfect sense. You don't think about that. You think about who he is and what he's done. Okay? And he's going to change us. And if we can put the mind of Christ on right now, that is what saves this evil world out there. The world is evil, guys, and the things they're doing out there taken away from you. And I think about you as Bible-believing Christians. I don't see you out there tearing stuff up. You'll reserve yourself, because what changes people's minds on race, color, politics is the Word of God rightly divided. And it's not a race mess. So I got to looking at that, what he posted, and I'm like, this is good. Because if you do think of something that's in your mind, when you go down to pray to God, it's going to be in your mind. You come up, if you don't flush it and say, this is what I'm worried about. There's lost people out there that needs to hear this word. There's people we rub elbows with every day, and we don't even ask them. Don't ask them. They may be a time. Oh, man, I forgot to ask that guy. This 75-year-old guy I was picking up trash with, you know, the other, a couple weeks ago. Last thing I was talking about, the school I went to, he was from Chicagoland. I never asked him where he's going to spend eternity. And I saw him again yesterday. And so this is like three times I saw him. And I need the next time, if the Lord will tarries, I need to ask him. And where he's going to spend eternity. He may hit it right on the nail. You know, or he might say, hey, I've lived a long, good life, and I've been giving this stuff to Lions Club and Rotary Clubs and Science Clubs. And, you know, you never know what they say, but when they do give you the right answer, just smile and rejoice with them. Amen. They may not understand the Bible right divided. They may not understand about Paul, their apostles, but they may hit that Christ died for my sins and buried and rose again. And you can rejoice in that. Amen? You know? And so you won't know until you ask. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. And Lord, as we think about the power that's in your word and preaching of the cross to those that needs to hear a clear gospel, and we ask that we be bold in that. And we also ask that if there's people there that out there that may never heard that Christ died for sins and buried and rose again, let them hear it from one of us, and let them search the scriptures to see his soul. And in doing so, they will have eternal life with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We hope that this broadcast was good for you. I know we did some testing on some things, and we just hope that we'll see you next week.